Okay, we're going to look at John chapter 15 this morning, the first 8 verses. That's John chapter 15, the first 8 verses. I've entitled my talk this morning, Jesus, the True Vine. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I chose that passage this morning because a couple of weeks back, the week before Pastor Strada came, Pastor Steve was speaking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it got me thinking that we're called to be fruit bearers, but bearers of his fruit and not our own. You know, Jesus said this, he said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. We want to bear good fruit, don't we? Yeah? For the Christian, good fruit should be an outward sign that we are truly, inwardly abiding in Christ. Abiding, abide, that's a good word, that. The dictionary's definition of abide is this: to remain, to dwell in or inhabit, to submit to and to remain faithful to. Abidings is this: continuing without change, enduring, steadfast and permanent. You know, if Jesus is first in our lives, we can't help but bear fruit, good fruit. But like fruit, it's a process of growing and developing on the inside. You know, as a believer, it's not you who lives anymore. It's Jesus that's living inside you, isn't it? It's Christ living in you. You've given your life over to him. And we should give him the freedom to reign in our lives. If we let him reign in our lives, the true vine will begin to flower in us. Well, a bud and then flower, and then fruit will start to develop. I like what Pastor Steve said the other week when he saw about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He said this: the fruit is the byproduct of a healthy tree. You see, it's his fruit. It's Jesus bearing fruit in us. But that'll only happen if you truly submit to him. You know, in his day, Jesus, I think I mentioned this once before when I was preaching, that he used to use agricultural terms for people because that's what most people were involved in those days, agriculture. So he used these terms to help them to understand things. And I think what he's doing here now with the vine and the branches, he's using that analogy for them to try and get a bit of a grip of what he was talking about. You know, fruit in those days was in great demand. And vineyards, like today, were big business. You know, in those days, taxes, I don't mean the cars, I mean your taxes that you pay, taxes and debts were often paid in wine. And so important was this commodity of fruit that people who were involved in the industry, like grape harvesters, were exempt from military service. It was a very important commodity, this fruit, this wine. You know, it's not only grapes that grow on vines. Other fruits grow on vines. Melons grow on vines and cucumbers grow on vines. But in the Bible, when it mentions the word vine, it almost always relates to the grapevine or the vineyard. You know, the vineyard is used throughout the Old Testament to symbolize the fertility of the land. And it was an expression of God's favor on the people. Israel itself is referred to as a vineyard. But you know something? Through unfaithfulness and rebellion, that vine, Israel, at that time was withering. Jesus often referred to the kingdom of heaven as a vineyard, a fruitful place, a precious place. You know, vines were plants grown to produce grapes, raisins, and wine. That's the vine's purpose. The thing slipped again. The vine's purpose is to produce fruit. Without the fruit, the vine and all its efforts are wasted. Jesus mentioned the vine dresser or the gardener. Now his job was to prune, to train, and to cultivate the vines. His job entailed doing things like removing things from the branch that sapped its strength and its vitality. Anything that affected its power to live and to grow, he'd get rid of. Things like sucker branches or misdirected shoots or discoloured leaves. Anything that was going to sap the life out of the tree and not produce fruit, he got rid of. Here's a fact for you. I've done a little bit of homework on grapes. It takes between 165 to 180 days for grapes to grow. It's quite a long time, isn't it? And harvesting in ancient Israel usually happened between June to September. And we know that when Jesus spoke these words on the vine and the branches, was in the spring of AD 31. So the branches at that time would have budded and flowered, and the fruit would have been well on its way now to forming clusters. A lot of time would have been spent on tending and caring for the crop. So it's understandable that the fellow who owned it, the vineyard owner, would be quite protective of his commodity. What they did in those days was they'd surround the vineyard with a hedge or a fence, or if he was well off, they'd put a stone wall around the vineyard. They'd also have a watchtower in the grounds, and it'd be manned by somebody 24 hours a day to keep an eye on thieves or wild animals that were trying to get at the crop. And also they'd have a wine press and a vat on site. It was an industry, and it was well protected. The vineyard was a well-respected, cared for and protected place. So let's have a look at our scripture reading again. And let's remember where Jesus was at this time when he spoke these words. He and the disciples had just shared that last meal together in that upper room. And we're now headed for Gethsemane. Now, Gethsemane wasn't a vineyard, it was an olive grove. But maybe, this was just me been thinking this last week, as he travelled to Gethsemane, maybe they passed the vineyard. Maybe that's where Jesus got this analogy from, for the vine and the branches. He begins by saying, doesn't he, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, not a vine, the true vine. So why did he refer to himself as a vine, as a true vine? Why did he say this? Well, I believe that he knew that his hour had almost come. He knew what was about to happen. He knew what the reaction of the disciples was going to be. That for all he'd shown over the last 3 years, that they were going to be thrown into confusion and panic and fear by what they were going to witness, the death of Jesus. But I think he said it because he was saying, like, as bad as things were going to be, they needed to say, stay strong in him, stay in close fellowship with him. Because it wasn't going to be a physical relationship anymore, was it? It was going to be a spiritual relationship. And that was going to take faith, great faith. Jesus was saying that the true vine, although it was going to be cut down, was going to grow again. It was going to grow and be the life source on which those who believed on him, us New Testament believers, would feed on. It wasn't the end, it was just the beginning. Jesus is the true vine. And the true vine lacks nothing. And the true vine's only purpose was this, was to and is to bear fruit for the glory of God. The true vine's purpose was to bear witness to and bear fruit for the glory of God. In our reading, Jesus goes on, he says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, I've explained what the vine dresser did, the gardener. He supplies the tender, loving care needed for the vine to produce the best possible fruit. You know, he'd keep a watchful eye to see if any of the branches had fallen into the dirt. Because don't forget that a vine has a flexible stem until it gets established. So he'd go round and he'd gently lift the branches up out of the dirt to train them and establish them so that they could be productive. How many branches here has God lifted out of the dirt? He's done it with me quite a few times. He'd lift the branches out of the dirt to give him a better chance of being productive. See, the gardener cherishes the vine and its branches so as to produce the choicest of fruits. That's his purpose. It's that end result, the choicest of fruit. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So according to that verse there, there are some branches that are in him, but they won't bear any fruit. An unfruitful branch is a spiritually dead branch. You know, as I go out and about to different churches, I come across a lot of Christians, a lot of so-called Christians. And one or two seem to lack the fruits of the Spirit. One or two are quite opinionated. They're good at quoting parts of the Bible, sometimes out of context, I've noticed. They seem very religious, quite legalistic. They look stern, never smile. Somebody was talking about that this morning, weren't they? Can be critical. There seems no love there, or warmth, or compassion, or joy. You know, they might well be saved. They might have received the baptism of repentance, but maybe not the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. But then again, maybe they have, but they've just never allowed the Holy Spirit to permeate the being. They've never allowed those fruits to really develop in their lives. There's no fruit there. They're dead branches. Even though they call themselves Christian. But Jesus goes on and he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Who needs a little pruning this morning? I still need a bit of pruning. I want to bear more fruit. I want to bear much fruit for Jesus. For you? You know, when we allow things into our lives that jeopardize our spiritual walk, we need pruning. Anything that saps our strength and our vitality in the Lord is a hindrance. We've got to be sharp. Anything that tries to contaminate a healthy branch needs dealing with. It needs pruning. It needs getting rid of. How does God do this? Well, mainly he does it and speaks to us through his word, doesn't he? Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, one thing that I know is if my thoughts and my attitudes and my actions don't line up with the word of God, the Holy Spirit's got a way of letting me know about it. I get a niggle. And it's there until I try and put things right if I can. Has anybody else experienced that? He lets you know, doesn't he? It's interesting in this passage, you know, that Jesus mentions this. He mentions no fruit. Then he mentions fruit. Then more fruit, and then much fruit. So it's an indication that God anticipates the Christian to steadily progress in the level of our fruitfulness. God's expecting us to develop and to produce more fruit in our lives. But it's not our fruit. It's his fruit. Talking of pruning, I'll tell you this. Moira is very reluctant to let me loose in the garden because I'm a bit lethal. She does all of the nice stuff, planting and everything else. I do all the donkey work, the digging over and stuff like that. But a couple of years back, she said to me, look, she said, that bush over there, said, it doesn't look right. She said, can you have me edge trimmer and me shear? She said, can you just try and neaten it up a bit? So I get out there with my edge trimmer and I'm taking a bit off one side and stood back and had a look, and then the other side looks a little bit too heavy. So I took a bit off that side and then the other side looks a bit out of shape. And I was going all around. Next week she comes flying out of the contour. She's saying, you massacred me bush, she said. You butchered it. And I had done. I'd done a bit too mad with me edge trimmer, you know. But it's funny because after apologising to her, I thought, right, it doesn't look right, this now. So I decided to chop everything off it. And I just left this sorry-looking stump of piece of wood in the garden. And I said to her, I said, look, I said, what I'll do, I'll leave it there. Right, and I left a bit of length on it. I thought, if it dies off now in the spring, I'll use that to lever it out, you know. You know, the following year, it flourished. It filled out. It even had blossom on it. I couldn't believe it. This sorry lump of wood in the autumn, it suddenly turned into this beautiful, healthy-looking bush. So, can I do some more? But it's true. It was a healthy-looking bush. You know, sometimes God has to cut right back to the wood for some people to truly flourish. Have to get rid of all that dead stuff. All that stuff that's sapping the life out of us. You know, even though we may be bearing fruit, God wants us to bear more fruit and much fruit. But it's only going to happen that by Christ being first in our lives, and by being obedient to him. But as disciples, that's the word, isn't it? We can learn to discipline ourselves out by reading his word, by praying, and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and teach us into deeper truths. You know, one truth here this morning might be that we're still trying to hold on to areas of our lives that God wants. Because he wants it all. He wants all your life. And it's not for his benefit. It's for our benefit. Because he wants the best for you. And he wants you to truly flourish. He wants us all to truly flourish. As true followers of him, as true followers of Jesus, we are going to bear fruit. But you know what? The quality of the fruit and the quantity of the fruit isn't our concern or our responsibility. It's Jesus's. It's Jesus. All we've got to do is remain in him and abide in him and stay connected to the true vine. It's that simple. It really is. It's just all about staying connected to Jesus and letting him produce his fruit in us. You know, it's his life, it's his will, and his purposes bearing fruit in and through us. And when we allow the fruits of the Spirit to grow in us, the fruit will show in our lives and in our service to him. Galatians 5:22. You don't have to go there. You know, anyway, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know what they are? They are the character and nature of Jesus. That's the nature of Jesus, and all those fruits are in you. If you're a born-again believer, they're already in you. But like fruit, you're probably at different stages of growing. But all nine need to develop. And if we allow Christ free reign in our lives, what are they going to do? They're going to grow, develop, mature. You know, in my job, I hate them, I really do, but in my job we have appraisals. Does anybody else have an annual appraisal? Yeah? Mark has them. They're not great, are they? You know, at work, we generally get a questionnaire before we meet up with our line managers. And you have to fill the questionnaire in. It'll have things on it like, what are you most proud of achieving over the last 12 months? What do you consider to be your strengths? And what areas do you need to work on, etc.? Things like that, you know. And you get to do all these things. You don't get any more money at the end of it. Well, I'm not a great lover of appraisals at work. But the word appraise means to assess the quality and value of something. And I believe that we as Christians should regularly appraise our work with the Lord. You know, when I was doing my reader training, we were encouraged to keep a journal. And I did do, I'm not keeping one now, but I did do for quite a few years. And it was good to look back and read how I was when I first started to where I was at that time. You know, the way I was thinking, things I was doing, you know, my faith levels and things like that. It was good to keep a journal. So I would recommend to people to keep a journal of your walk with the Lord. It is good to see how you're progressing. But it's also good to see in what areas you might be slipping a little bit. We need to regularly appraise where we are with Him. You know, regarding the fruits of the Spirit, I can honestly say, right, that I struggle in these areas, but I'm not where I was. I might not be where I should be, but I'm not where I was. I can see a bit of progress in those fruits. You know, when I talked to somebody on Friday, and we talked about an incident that happened in my life, just when me and Mara started courting, it was, and the way I handled it. And this lady, she's a Christian lady, she helps us out at the cafe we were on, and she couldn't believe it. She says, I can't believe you was like that. No, because she's seen me now. How I am now. But I was telling her, a jaw dropped. It was our first date when I took Moira out, and, you know, I didn't behave very well, really, with this certain person when we went out for a meal. But this person couldn't believe I could have been like that. I think maybe sometimes there's a little bit of that in there, but I'm learning. One of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. I can see a difference to the better. And it's Christ changing me from the inside. Mary will say amen to that, won't you, Lord? You know, if you allow Jesus to change you from the inside, people will see the fruit on the outside. Things like your demeanour will change. That's what had happened. My demeanour's changed from how I used to be. You'll be more compassionate. You'll develop a heart for the poor. Because that's where Jesus' heart was, wasn't it? Get a heart for the poor. And you'll want to serve them. You'll love those who you thought were even unlovable with a genuine love. Because that's what Jesus did. I haven't got time this morning to go through all the 9 fruits of the Spirit. What time is it? But I'm just going to select one this morning. Joy. Joy. A preacher friend of mine used to say this: if you want real joy in your life. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about everlasting joy. You see, if you want real joy in your life, prioritize your life like this. Joy. J-O-Y. J. Jesus first. Put Him first at all times and in all areas of your life. J. Jesus first. O. Others. Philippians 2:3 says, let each esteem others better than themselves. So put other people before yourself. And then why? Then yourself. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. And I believe that if you're too wrapped up in yourself, you'll never really experience real joy that only Jesus can give. Did you hear that? I've just given somebody there the cure for depression. It's all about Jesus. And we're a part of his story. It's all his story. It's history, his story. And we're part of it. We're part of his life, his spirit, his nature, his love, his power, and his authority. There's no better, safer, more secure place to be than abiding in him. Because he's our life source. It's all about him. But he wants to include you. Matthew 7:20, Jesus said this, by their fruit you'll recognize them. So who's them? That's us. He wasn't saying we'll be recognized by what we do. Because a lot of people in the world do some marvellous charitable things, don't they? But for whose glory? Who did he do it for? I believe Jesus was saying we'll be recognised by the way we are. The way we are. And then by what we do. For God's glory. That's how people know us. There's no selfish ambition. It's all for God. It's all for his glory. I'm going to close in a minute. But in my Bible, that reading there, Jesus uses the word abide or abides 7 times in 8 short verses. Other translations use the word remain. When Jesus said, remain in me, I believe he was saying this. He was saying to the disciples then, and he's saying to us now, saying, look, you're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to go and do things wrong. But don't ever give up on me. He's saying, don't ever give up on me. Don't ever think, what's the point? A lot of Christians, I believe, are not flourishing as they should be because they feel they can't match up to what they think God expects of them. If that's the case, then you've not understood grace. And grace isn't just the unmerited favour of God. No, it's the deep, deep love of the Father for you. Because he loves you. And he's full of tender compassions for you. Because he loves you. If you belong and remain in Jesus, it doesn't matter where you are on the path. No matter where you are or who you are a work in progress. You might be at the flower stage or the bud stage or the fruits might still not be fully developed, but you're a work in progress. And he just wants to encourage you, say, come on, keep going. He says to me, keep going, Kevin. Keep going, lad. Keep going. Keep going. Keep moving forward. All right, you made a mistake. Now get up. You said you were sorry. Move on. That's what God's like. He's saying, get over it. I'm not dwelling on it now. Just keep going forward. Just keep moving on. Keep moving on. Don't let the devil get you and say you're not doing very well. You're doing brilliantly in my eyes. Just keep moving forward. That's God. You are you. And God called and chose you. I reckon he's got a great sense of humour choosing me, because I'd never have chosen me. I'd never have got up here. But that's God. That's when you know it's God and not you. He chose you and he called you. Jesus just wants to help you to be all that you can be in this life. That's it. He's done the hard work. He's took the pressure off us. He wants us to enjoy this life. And all he asks is that we remain in him. In closing, you know, regard the grapevine. The vine does all the hard work. The vine produces life, and the branch appears, and then the fruit appears on the branch. The branch and the fruit don't have to do anything. We'll just remain in the vine. You are the branches. Staying in fellowship with Jesus, the true vine, and being deeply rooted in him is all we've got to do for his fruit to show and to grow in our lives. It's that simple. Let's just pray together.